Hi, today is September 30th, 2017. This is Comics News Podcast 91. I'm Todd Agassi-Ward, my good friend Jay Stone. And today we're going to talk about the new Marvel's Inhumans TV series on ABC TV. Just started, what, Friday, Jay? That sound about right?
Okay. I don't know. I just saw like something online that it was already online that I looked for it. I don't know when it actually started.
Okay. Now, I've got a problem with my headset, so you keep on talking. Can you hear me, Jay?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, great. Sorry, folks.
Like, Friday? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Those of you who listen to the Mobile podcast know I have been having problems with my new Blue Yeti microphone, which is a great microphone for recording sound, but it causes some problems with output when I'm using Skype. And I sometimes have to switch headphone jacks. But anyway, it sounds like Jay and I have got that. So anyway, yeah, I think it launched on Friday, Jay. So there were like episodes 1 and 2 both launched on Friday, and then there's nothing for like another 2 weeks.
Did you go watch it in the theater?
No, I didn't go see it in IMAX. Did you do that?
No, I was going to go, and then I read the reviews, and I said, I'm not going to pay that kind of money. Also, the thing is this. It didn't make any sense. Is there's scenes
right
in TV that they didn't put in the film.
What?
Yeah. The theatrical version is shorter.
That is wild.
Does that make sense?
Not
and
at
to be
all.
Honest, is that was really the reason. It was like, okay, shouldn't you get more in the theater? You're paying the ticket. But they actually gave you less. So I was like, well, why bother?
That's wacky. Okay, I have a theory about that. So as you may know, IMAX paid for the first 2 episodes of the series. Okay?
Yeah.
So it's shot in IMAX. I bet they had to reshoot some things without the IMAX cameras. And those scenes didn't make it into the movie version.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a theory. I have no idea if it's true or not.
The IMAX. That sounds reasonable. I had a. I read something about how when the theatrical version, it's done in IMAX, but it didn't really fit for IMAX for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. They were saying like it didn't look right. Like some scenes look really, really pretty good, and other scenes just didn't look right. For IMAX.
All right. At any rate, so. Inhumans is based on the comic book. Well, actually, I guess there was an Inhumans comic book, but really they started off in Fantastic Four, right? I think Inhumans were introduced to Fantastic Four.
That makes sense.
Yeah, during the Kirby era.
Yeah, didn't he create them?
Yes, yeah, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. Well, I don't know if it was just one of them or both of them, but that's my recollection, and it also happens to have shared continuity with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So there's reference in the show about the Tarragon gas mist, whatever, being released to the general public on Earth, and Inhumans being created on Earth. I don't know if the two are going to cross over, though. Although you think it would make sense.
They should.
Yeah. And it's a real shame, since it's based in Hawaii, and we'll get to more of that later, that, you know, it's a shame that it's on ABC and Hawaii Five-O is on CBS, because it would be funny to have a crossover. It wouldn't make any sense, but it'd still be funny.
That would be good. They should just get it done.
You know, or even funnier, really? bring Tom Selleck on as a, you know, Magnum P.I. type character.
Oh, make him an Inhuman, too.
Oh, wouldn't that be funny?
That would be so awesome. And then his mustache could be like Medusa's hair.
Okay.
Or his chest hair.
Yeah. Getting on to the show itself. So, were you surprised by the Rotten Tomatoes average rating? Which is 4%?
Yeah, because I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, it's bad. I don't know. Are we in sports territory? Pretty. It's bad, but yeah. I mean, 4%—that's kind of harsh. That's a bit harsh.
Now, the general public
that's a bit harsh.
The general public gives it 53%. So there is a huge discrepancy between the general public, 53%, and the critics, which gave it 4%. Yeah, I'm not sure it's deserving of 4%. I'm kind of in the sub 50%, though. You know, I'd give it like 4 out of 10 stars or something.
No, you're higher than me.
Okay, what would you give it? What would you give it?
20s.
How much?
Probably. In the 20s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why I said 4%. That's a little too harsh.
Okay.
I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, okay. there is some redeeming value to it. I mean, there's a little bit. There's like 20% redeeming value.
Well, for me, the only redeeming value is it's shot in Hawaii, and I always find that fun. But
I like that.
You know,
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, although I thought it was really funny that they used a state capitol building as a building in Atitlan on the moon. So I guess they could.
Yes, I thought that was silly.
Yeah, they can never use a state capitol as a state capitol, or I guess they could, but. People go, doesn't that look just like the building on the moon?
Yeah, so, that's just exactly the same.
Yeah.
Exactly the same.
Okay, now one thing I was pretty impressed by were the costumes. I thought the costumes were reasonably close to the comic book versions, minus the mask. And Lockjaw looked great. So what did you think?
Lockjaw was the... my favorite thing of the entire show, but I love Lockjaw. I love that character.
Right. Although I'm still kind of torn to figure out if he's a dog or a human that looks like a dog.
I like the old continuity where he was an inhuman.
A person.
He just didn't talk.
Right. A human who looked like a dog. Right. No.
No. In the old continuity, in the old thing.
Right.
Comic book. It's revealed that he's an inhuman.
Right, right. By that, I mean a person.
No. Well, yeah, I guess so.
Right? He's not an animal that became a superpowered dog. He's not a dog that became a superpowered dog.
No.
Right?
No. Yeah, he's an inhuman. He just happens to look that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he can talk English.
Yeah, although that was retconned, right? I mean, that was retconned out as a joke.
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me. They should have kept that. That was awesome. That was so cool.
So the other thing that disappointed me, well, and it has nothing to do with the comic book, but you know they have Black Bolt, and they just call him Bolt in the show. They don't refer to him as Black Bolt, I think. But Black Bolt is shown using a kind of sign language. And I read in Wikipedia that it's a made-up sign language. It's not ASL. So that's kind of disappointing. I was kind of hoping, you know, they'd use American Sign Language so maybe regular people could pick up a few things. That, you know, would be a fun way to learn ASL, I think.
Yeah, but they speak English, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the rationale in Wikipedia, I forget who is attributed to, is that they didn't use ASL because it's not on Earth, and yet they all speak English, as you said. So... Bogus explanation.
That doesn't make sense. Hey, did you think their communicators look like the Microsoft Ban?
The Microsoft Ban. I guess you could make a case
that
for
was
that.
Microsoft like Fitbit thing. It kind of looked like
right?
it to me.
Right. Or like the one of the whatchamacallit? Like the Fitbit Blaze or something. You know, one of the wristbands that Fitbit has. Kind of, you know, they kind of look alike. So. You know,
I just thought what was so silly is it looks like one of those bands that my daughter has where you like flick it and it goes around your wrist. Because when you take it off, it can come straight and then it can fold open like a phone.
Yeah.
I mean, did you notice that? Everyone, there's a lot of spoilers here.
Yeah. Did you notice
that?
No, I didn't actually. But
yeah, so. They can take it off, and
right.
then it become instead of curved, it becomes straight.
I didn't notice that.
They put it on, right? It becomes curved again, right? And then when you take it off and it becomes straight, you can open it up, like, okay, So it has a screen on the outside, but you can open it up and it has screens on the inside.
Mm.
Right? These tiny little screens, because it's so thin.
I did not notice.
I thought was so ridiculous is, how does it not, it's so advanced, but how does it not tell them where people are? You can just talk to them like a cell phone.
Well.
And you know, what's interesting is.
And apparently there's no touch screen either.
Use it to find them. Right. What's that?
Apparently there's no touch screen either, because, you know, Black Bolt couldn't, like, text or anything, or scribble to Medusa.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct. Not only that, the villain can use it to track people.
Right.
But the other, we're all family can't. It's like they're, like, really dumb or something. It's like they're so privileged they don't even know how to use their own communicators.
Well, you know, I never thought about that, but basically the characters are really disappointing because Medusa and Crystal are overpowered so easily. And then, you know, again, spoiler, they just cut her hair. I don't get that at all. I didn't get that at all. I don't think that ever happened in the comic books.
No, I think what it was is that they did that so they didn't have to have her wear that horrible wig all the time.
Well, that wasn't a wig. That was CGI, you know, right? Oh, I see what you're saying. A wig when they're not CGIing. Yeah.
Yeah. So that she doesn't have to wear that horrible wig all the time. And then they won't get criticized. They don't have to spend all their budget on making her hair move.
Right, which is super expensive.
Every once in a while, because that's got to be so expensive. So they, how do we make it cheap? Let's cut off the hair that we don't have to deal with it.
And I can
understand why people at Comic-Con just laugh at them.
Yeah. And Crystal just, you know, for an elemental, she has elemental powers, right, in the comic books. Really never saw her used to defend herself or as an offensive weapon. And she's probably one of those powerful Inhumans around. So.
Yes, she is. And I don't think they have enough budget for special effects.
Yeah.
I think they used everything on Lockjaw.
Well, okay, that was well spent.
Yes, it was. Right? So they had nothing left for Crystal to do her powers.
Right.
Right? So, and then Medusa to use her hair. And they also didn't use anything to spend enough time on Gorgon's hooves.
No, what do you mean by that? Because I thought
they looked so silly.
Oh, you thought they looked silly. Okay. Now, but, you know, Gorgon's hooves looked silly in the comic books, too, in my opinion. Didn't you think?
That's true. They look as bad as Medusa's hair.
Nothing look as bad as Medusa's hair.
I mean, and okay, I gotta give you that. But that's why I say they look almost as bad as Medusa's hair.
Okay. I retract my statement then. You are correct. Almost as bad. You're right. It is bad, but of lesser level.
Yeah. And what the hell is his horn? Where is his horn?
You know, it's...
Give him...
On the other hand,
give him horn.
On the other hand, some of the fight scenes were kind of fun. Like, Karnak's fight scenes I thought were pretty fun. Gorgon's...
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I like how they use his, like, you know, because he sees all possibilities.
Right.
I thought that was pretty good. I mean, they spent some money on that.
Yeah, they did.
So I actually liked that part. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. But, I don't know, for me, again, I've seen, like, 1/3 episodes. I didn't finish the second episode. In fact, I didn't even realize it was on until you emailed me and said, hey, you want to talk about Inhumans? And I said, has it been on already? So I had to go find it to watch it. Because I didn't set it on my DVR. Well,
it was on my YouTube feed. I recommend it.
Oh.
Because it was like, it was like someone doing a reaction to it or something, or critiquing it. So, right. And I said, so did it come out already? So I looked for it. I just searched for it on my Apple TV, and I found it.
Nice.
On, like, 3 services. And then I went, oh, okay. And then I saw, oh, they have both episodes.
The first episodes came out in the same night.
I get it.
Yeah.
And then they also have behind the scenes, but I can't get to it.
Oh, I think... Hulu.
It's hard to get to it on Hulu.
I think... Okay, I was going to say maybe you could do it on ABC TV app, but I'm not sure. I think you
I can't because I don't have cable.
Yeah, you need to be associated with a cable TV service of some kind. Yeah. Okay. Now, okay, so we're talking about things that did work, like Carnage. I think, aside from Lockjaw, my favorite character is Karnak, which is played
by... Yeah, Karnak's pretty good.
Which I think Ken Leong, who is the actor portraying Karnak, I think he was on Lost for a couple of seasons, like maybe a season or two.
I don't remember. He was in Rush Hour.
He was in Rush Hour?
He was the blonde villain.
Oh, I don't remember that.
He was in Rush Hour. He was also in The Force Awakens.
Oh, I didn't see that one. Star Wars. I saw Star Wars. I don't remember what character he played.
He's part of the Resistance. He's like one of the generals.
Oh, okay.
Or colonels or something.
Okay.
When they're on that planet and they're talking to Leia, and he helps strategize. I think he's the one who says, something that big must have a way to expel the thermal heat. Or something like that. And they go, oh, yes. There's always something like that. Like there's some forces. There's always a way to blow it up.
Yeah.
Wow. And then there's like they find this heat dissipator portion of the planet or something.
All right.
So yeah, he's in Force Awakens. He's a good actor. I've seen him in several films.
Yeah,
he really gets into the character.
It was interesting to me because normally I'm more than you. I'm the one who criticizes characters which are reimagined in a way I'm not happy with, or very different. I shouldn't say that. We reimagined in a way that's way different from what I expect from the comic books. In the comic books, my recollection is Karnak was kind of the strong, deadly, silent type. He didn't really say a lot. But this Karnak has a lot of quips and things, especially...
Yeah, he sees the possibility.
Right. And especially, like when Lockjaw brings her to Earth and he's like on the top of a cliff, and he's in a really not inopportune, but he's in a kind of a bad place. He has to climb down and stuff, and he goes, "Stupid dog," things like that.
Yeah. Yes.
So I, despite it being very different from the comic book version of Karnak, I really enjoyed it. And I should also mention there's no relation to Karnak the Magnificent from the old Johnny Carson serial, but anyway, spelled the same way though, I think.
But I wish they gave him a big head.
Because
he has a big head, right?
Yeah, well, was it a big head or was his helmet big? I can't remember anymore.
Well, I always thought that was his head, because in humans, right, they don't always come out of the transformation looking like a normal human.
Sometimes yeah, like Triton.
Usual, like Gorgon.
Yeah.
Or Triton, right?
Yeah. Okay, I'm looking.
Oh, my God. I got to say something.
Go ahead.
That Triton guy, I am so glad they just blew him up in the beginning of the show. He was horrible.
You didn't like the rubber costume, whatever he had on?
I didn't like the costume. I didn't like his acting. It was like, he dies off in the first, 10 minutes. So
are you sure he's dead, though? Because he goes into the ocean, so...
Supposedly, right?
Right. I think he's alive.
I think he's alive. He's totally alive, but the thing is, he's not in the rest of the show, right?
Right.
He's blown up.
Right.
Or not blown up, shot at, then goes into the ocean.
Right.
So of course he goes in the ocean, so he's going to recover in the ocean. But he was horrible. He was so bad. I was like, oh, this does not bode well. This is so bad.
Okay, I'm looking at comicbookdb.com for the bio on Karnak. And, I think you're right. I think his head is gigantic.
But yeah, he has this weird big head, but
it's just the part above his eyes.
Yeah.
Right? Because from the eyes down, it's a normal sized head. It's
just
from the eyes up, it's like the leader. Remember the leader in the Hulk?
The leader. Yeah, it's like Jack Kirby went, I already did the leader. Oh, let's do the same thing.
Yeah.
But just make him an inhuman.
Right.
Or, DC has that Hector hand with the big head. Oh, yeah, let's give him a big head.
In Green Lantern, right.
Yeah.
Well, also, I was just thinking...
I didn't miss Triton for the rest of the show. I did not miss him.
Yeah, I think there's a Batman villain too. Something Strange. Hugo Strange had a giant head too.
No, not really. He had a bald head.
A bald head? Oh, I thought it was a big head.
Bald.
Okay.
Hugo Strange is bald, but he wasn't abnormally large like Karnak.
Yeah.
Or the leader. Like, the leader's, like, really tall, right?
Right.
With his head. Yeah, it wasn't that abnormal.
Okay, so what do you think? So, you know, I've kind of, honestly, having only watched an episode and a half or thereabouts, I've kind of run out of things to say, but I don't know. What do you think? Does it have a future?
No, it's going to die. A very quick death. It's gonna, and that's disappointing because they have so much potential because it's so miscast. It's horribly miscast. The actors are not very good, most of them. You know, my favorite of all of them is actually Black Bolt.
The guy playing Black Bolt?
Black Bolt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that tells you something, that my favorite actor is the one that doesn't speak.
Doesn't speak, yeah.
With vocal language.
He does have one line. Which is, I think he says why when he kills his parents or something like that.
Yeah.
Not one line, one word. They kind of got the look right on most of them. I thought, for example, the actress that plays Crystal looks the part. She even has that black band in her hair, which I never could figure out in the comic books if that was the way her hair grew, which is weird. But okay, she's inhuman. Or if it was a decorative thing. She's got the right look, but she can't act, which is kind of a problem.
Well, that's the problem with most of the actors. So the problem is this, right? The main big family character.
Yeah.
Only black folk can act.
Yeah.
And then the supporting Inhumans, I would say, like Karnak and Gorgon, are the best actors.
Yeah.
That speak.
Right. And Lockjaw is just the best overall. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the best overall. Yeah. And he's a little CGI character.
Yeah.
And then Maximus is just, I mean, what was the point? They picked the shortest guy possible to play Maximus?
Well, Maximus was shown as being a small-ish person in the comics, as I recall. With a really bad...
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, with a really bad haircut. Kind of like, if you remember the Three Stooges, he had kind of a mo haircut.
Oh, I can believe that.
He seemed to be as kind of a... I mean, you know how in the 60s, especially, Marvel had these kind of flunkies that looked like court jesters?
Yeah.
You know? Right? I mean, that was kind of a popular meme or theme or something. You know, like Magneto had the Toad. Remember the Toad?
Yeah.
That, you know, was kind of a... I mean, it was actually a pretty powerful character, but looked like kind of a buffoon. And Maximus kind of looked like a very angry Mo. I guess Mo in the Three Stooges was always angry, but, you know, even more so. At a homicidal level, you know. Okay, so I think Inhumans is an 8-episode pickup. And you're thinking, not past 8?
Oh, that's too much.
That's too much?
That's too much. This is one of those shows, I mean, you should be able to finish the whole storyline in like 4 to 6 episodes. I mean, they didn't put any thought forward into developing a real world, into creating intrigue. There's so many unanswered questions, things that don't make sense. Why are those two women staring at, you know, video screens all the time and don't react when Karnak goes and beats people up?
Yeah. They're pools of water, actually, right?
Yeah, it's a pool of water.
Yeah.
You find out later, right?
Yeah.
But then it's like, well, they don't even react. They you know, even Crystal's hair, it's like, well, did she dye it that way? Did she grow that way?
Right.
In the comic books, I always thought it was kind of like a ribbon. Until you mentioned it, until I saw it, I went, oh yeah, I guess she could have had dyed her hair, or her hair grows that way. I never thought about it. I always thought it was some kind of ribbon.
Yeah.
When I was a kid. You know? And then, like, he was like, why do the Royal Guards decide to support him? The people supporting him makes sense. Why the Royal Guards turn on them? It's never explained. You know?
Yeah.
That didn't make any sense to me. And then I don't remember, you know, Black Bolt creating a caste society and being an oppressive king and having people work in mines.
I don't remember any of that either.
And I always thought all the Inhumans on the moon all had some kind of transformation or some power.
Yes, I agree with that too.
You know, this whole thing about like sometimes you get power, sometimes you don't, sometimes your powers come later. I just didn't understand that. And it's like, well, what are they mining on the moon?
Right. Well, actually, let me retract my statement. My exposure to the Inhumans, and this is via the Jack Kirby, Stan Lee stuff, they were already on Earth. They were trapped in a giant dome made of some nearly impenetrable material that somehow, I don't know, Lockjaw could get through, and, you know, eventually they crack through the dome. I forget, or they put up the dome later, but anyway, they're like in some remote location that kind of looked like Tibet or something.
Yeah, which is what the version of on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was.
That's right.
Right? 'Cause
that's right.
They're living on Earth, and then they're this, you know, supposedly Asian country.
Right.
Where, you know, they're hidden from view, but they never really explain it. I mean, there were so many holes in these two episodes that made no
sense. Actually, it does make sense because, okay, those two, I think, has continuity sense from the TV shows at least. Because they do say that, you know, they left the Earth at some point long ago, and they left some people behind. So I would assume that's those are the people in the Shangri-La-like environment back on Earth. So that I can kind of buy. I guess what I didn't buy at the time when I first saw it is I said, well, where's Black Bolt and, you know, Medusa and
Lancha and stuff. That at all.
Now we know, right? But we may not like it. That's the thing.
Yeah, this whole thing that, you know, that there's this strict caste system, and then there's this oppression, and then it's a growing society, and they don't have enough resources on the moon. None of that made any sense. I mean, humans are so super advanced above almost anything except maybe the Kree in Marvel Comics, right? Because they were created by the Kree, right?
Right.
So it's like none of that made any sense to me of how that would occur in Adelon. You know, it just felt really hollow.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but Maximus just doesn't seem scary. Isn't Maximus like deranged?
He is.
In the comic?
He is.
Yeah, I mean,
he's wacko, to use a technical term.
on the television show, he's not wacko. He's actually, of the two leaders.
Yeah.
He
makes he makes the most sense.
He's actually, because he's like, no, let's not have a caste system. Let's go down. Yeah. Let's try to live on Earth and do these things. And then Black Bolt's just like, no, just trust your king. Trust your king and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
It's like, you know, he's not doing it for the right reasons, but it'll be Maximus. But at the same time, in the beginning, he almost seems sincere that he wants to give equality to everyone.
Right. And not to get political, but it's kind of a populist kind of thing, right? So, you know, that we sometimes see in the real world. But I won't go beyond that. I won't go any more political than that. But yeah, so, you know, and it's okay. I mean, I can buy changing stuff like that. That's okay. I just don't think it's well executed.
Oh, it's so bad. I mean, like the people that speak out in the rally that he had.
Right.
I mean, that was just like, that's it. That's the best you could do, you know. And it's like they have to have this explanation that everyone gets their powers or transformation because they can't afford to dress people up differently. I don't know. It's so disappointing.
Okay, now the one thing that did befuddle me when comparing it to Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., people who are exposed to the tarragon gas are placed in a giant black cocoon.
Yeah.
And then they emerge like months later, and it's a difficult process. But these guys, they just, you know, pop in the little tube and something happens and they pop out and they either have powers or not.
You know, that confused me, but I reasoned it away, even though they didn't explain it.
Yeah.
The reasoning I came up with is the fact that they have this pure tarragon crystal.
Okay.
And then they're boost help them to assimilate it without any pain and immediately. So I went,
So like the ones we saw on Earth, they just didn't have the right equipment.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll buy that.
And then the other thing too is they have an explanation that when the Terra Genesis went off into the water,
right,
that it's activating people who aren't truly fully inhuman. They're like inhuman descendants, right?
Do so they don't have
some inhuman DNA,
right? So they don't have the full genetic whatever makeup you need to.
Yeah,
make the transition
versus the
properly.
Pure inhumans that are on the moon. Right. So I went, okay, all that I can explain.
Okay, yeah, but I'll buy that.
Stuff, I can't explain.
Okay, so to sum it up, there are a couple of fun points. Lockjaw being fun point number one.
Yes, don't you like his antenna?
Oh yeah, they got him right. I got the people who I forget the name of the company that did it, but they just got it right.
Yeah, I mean, they put his antenna as like an imprint on his forehead instead of an actual antenna.
Right. Went,
okay, that makes a lot more sense. It's like my dog who had spots.
Right.
Or stripes.
Right. I really like Lockjaw. You know, I look at him on, and I don't think, oh, that's a CGI thing. You know, it looks cartoon. It looks like a dog, like a big, giant, huge bulldog. So I was really happy to see the way Lockjaw turned out. Everybody else, not so much.
No, it's like, I don't know, it's so bad.
Right, but
I'll be surprised if it makes it through the 8 episodes.
Okay, I want to say one more positive thing about it. I just finished Marvel Defenders on Netflix the other night, which I think is
Wasn't that awesome?
It was okay. I thought it was better than some of the other, like I could not get through... AKA Jessica Jones. I could not get through the second season of Daredevil. But I barely got through Iron Fist.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy the Defenders, but I just wanted to say that it's still too visually dark. I mean, it's literally hard for me to see what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And whereas in Humans, the fight scenes were pretty darn good. I think they're better than in the Defenders. A lot better, actually.
And, no, you're correct. They're
really well lit. I mean, they were like, okay, I can see what's going on. I'm no expert in martial arts. I know you are, Jay, but I'm no expert in martial arts. But you know what? That looks pretty darn good to me.
No, it was better. Yeah. I agree. Those fight scenes were better, and they were in the day and all that kind of stuff. That was cool.
Yeah. So I'll give them props for doing the fight scenes in the light, well lit. I could see what was happening. I was pretty happy with that. The action scenes look pretty darn good to me. Maybe not Jackie Chan level good, but pretty darn good.
But too short.
Too short.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas
too short and too few and far between. I mean, even more action.
Whereas some of the fight scenes in the Defenders were too long, or maybe I just thought they're too long because they were so dark and I couldn't see what was going on.
Oh, no, they are too long. They are too long.
You know, or
but
some
the
like...
Defenders,
yeah,
the Defenders is a better show because they didn't go to 13 episodes.
Yeah, it's only 8 episodes, right?
So it doesn't suffer from Marvel TV's obsession with drawing out the story unnecessarily.
Although the first couple episodes are pretty slow.
It is Marvel TV on Netflix, so they have to have some slow episodes.
It has to be slow,
and then ramp it up really fast, and it's like Jeff Lebb. Come on, get it together. Why don't you guys call Greg Berlanti? Maybe he can help you guys pump up your shows a little bit.
Oh man,
it's so bad. You know, it's become like a style. Yeah. Let's do nothing for 5 episodes that's worth anything, and then we'll actually get to something interesting.
Okay, a couple of quick items then. One, are you going to be watching Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when it comes back?
I finished watching, probably not.
Probably
I
not?
Actually I couldn't keep on watching it on Hulu, so I waited till it got onto Netflix. And then also I waited till after I watched everything else I ever wanted to watch.
Okay.
And then it was like, I guess I'll watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay. No.
And then I watched it and finished it.
Okay.
And the best part of it is they brought Ghost Rider back.
Yeah. My next question is, Are you a Star Trek fan? I can't remember.
Yes, and I bought CBS All Access.
I was just going to ask you whether or not you did that.
Just so I can watch Discovery.
So you're going to pay $10 a month just to watch that?
No, $6.
Is it $6? How come it's... Oh, because with commercials.
Yes, with commercials.
Okay. Okay. I'm not going to pay it. I'll just wait until it appears somewhere else. Or I can buy
it. Well, you get it for like a month for free or something? Or 2 weeks for free or something?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing. And after that, I cancel.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
Well, but then you won't get all 16 episodes or 15 episodes or whatever it is.
That's okay. Have you watched it?
I've watched part of the first episode.
It's not going to last.
Okay. I wasn't impressed.
Okay, let's put it this way. How much do you like Enterprise? You remember Enterprise?
Yes, I do. With Quantum Leap guy, yep.
Yes, with Scott Bakula.
Yeah, who I like as an actor, by the way.
Yeah, he's a fine actor.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen him a lot of things. He's good. But it's better than Enterprise, but just barely, in my opinion. Discovery, yeah. And I've seen both episodes.
Yeah.
And they have like an after track thing, and I'm like, they screwed it up again.
Okay.
I don't think it's gonna. I don't think it's gonna make it through the season. Either it does make it through the season.
Yeah.
I don't think it's gonna come back.
Well, for me, you know, I'm a fan of Michelle Yeoh, and I think I don't like the character she's playing. So, kind of disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah, she's not playing a good character. The main character is not a good character. There are no good characters.
Yeah. Even Sarek is Yeah. Even using Sarek is like, do you really want to do that? What?
The best characters are the really weird-looking Klingons.
Okay, I don't like that at all.
Now, I understand that they look weird like that. Yes,
and they speak like they have and they speak like they have marbles in their mouth.
But of all
what the heck is that? Chickens talking? I mean, what the heck is going on with that?
Yeah, don't they look kind of like chickens, though? Like, I mean, their outfits look kind of feathery almost.
They do. Right? They do, yeah. So, anyway, apparently there's some retcon explanation somewhere in some podcast somewhere where somebody involved with both the film and the TV show explains how that happens. Since this is apparently...
I heard...
Yeah.
Yeah, but I heard that this is not in the new Star Trek universe. The J.J. Abrams universe.
Well, I heard it was.
I heard it wasn't.
They certainly got the lens flares.
Yes. So is it true? Is this part of the Abrams universe of Star Trek?
That's what I thought. I thought that's why the Klingons look so weird.
I read that it wasn't.
Okay.
But, okay, I'll look it up.
But it may not last long enough for it to matter, right?
It's not going to.
Okay.
The whoever's running this.
Right.
Does not understand Trek.
Yeah.
And yeah. I read that same thing over and over online.
Yeah,
whoever's running this does not understand Trek.
They do not honor Gene Roddenberry. It is without honor. As Worf would say, it is without honor.
It is. It is without honor, and it's not only that. It doesn't. They don't understand what Trek's all about. And I don't even just mean Roddenberry's vision, right? I mean, when you look at original series, right?
Yeah.
And then you look at the animated series. And then you look at Next Generation, right? And you look at the early movies, or the movies. There's no sense of hope. And that's what Trek is all about. There's a sense of hope, and there's just a sense that they've overcome everything.
Yeah. Well, that's what was the problem. As much as I enjoyed Deep Space Nine, and I did enjoy Deep Space Nine, the problem with both Deep Space Nine and Voyager is they were too dark. You know, the Dominion and, you know, the Borg and those weird alien virus critters from another universe. And
it's like It's like the problem that plagued the 90s of comics or something. Was it the 90s? The 80s and 90s of comics where everything got so super dark.
Oh, yeah. Right after Dark Knight Returns.
After Dark Knight and after Watchmen, and it was just so horrible. And
yeah,
it's like,
Watchmen. Which I enjoyed, but yeah, it turned everything for the darker, which I didn't like.
It's like they went, people want gritty, people want dark, and then people watch the stuff. And I think, not for Star Trek, not really. Yeah. You don't need to be that bad.
Okay.
The problem with, I thought, with Deep Space Nine is they didn't go far enough. If you're going to do that, just go all the way. Be like Babylon 5 and get really dark, but at the same time have a lot of hope for the future.
I thought they got pretty dark in Deep Space Nine with the whole Dominion and the... What was those lizard critter guys named?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, but anyway. Okay, last one. Before we sign off. Gotham. You going to watch Gotham?
No. I can't even watch it on Netflix.
That's
right. Last season, I was able to finish on Netflix. You know the one that had Azrael?
Right.
Who's now Sarek?
Right.
And I was able to finish it off on... Netflix, but I have not watched any of last season.
Yeah, so
I just couldn't do it.
So I'm actually enjoying Gotham. So Gotham has restarted, and it's whatever it is, the third season or fourth season, whatever it's in right now.
Did they bring back Fish Mooney again?
No. Well, they did, but she's
that's
gone
why
again.
You like it.
Yeah. But they're starting to bring the Batman mythos. Into closer focus, so like Catwoman, Selina Kyle, is learning to use a whip, you know, those kind of things.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's pretty cool.
And Bruce Wayne has donned a cowl and is out, you know, beating up, you know, kind of petty thieves and muggers and those kind of things. But the problem I think they're going to have is that the actor playing Bruce Wayne is, he's probably, what, 15 years old, 15, 16 years old? He's not big enough, you know?
So he's got to bulk up.
Batman is a big guy, right? I mean, he's not like, you know, 6'7", 300 pounds, but he's probably a big guy. I always imagine Batman as, you know, 6 foot, 6 foot two, 200 pounds, you know? Kind of like a good-sized NFL, you know, linebacker or something. And
so this guy's more like Robin.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, oh, man, you know, and, you know.
Maybe that'll be the big twist.
You know,
the twist is he'll try out a Robin persona first before he becomes Batman.
Well, and actually,
would that be a hoot?
In the comic books, that actually happens.
He becomes Robin first.
Yeah, in the comic books, Bruce Wayne adopts a Robin-like outfit before adopts the Batman persona. Yeah,
I don't remember that.
Yeah, there's only one story, and it was done in the 50s, I think. I remember seeing it in a reprint. But it was a fun story, and they said the backstory is that, you know, this thing he once wore became the basis for the initial Robin outfit.
Oh, I think I've heard of that. I don't think I read it, but I think I've heard of that. Because, like, the whole Robin outfit is ridiculous.
It is. Yeah. Well, you know, the whole Batman outfit is ridiculous. But did you hear,
you know, that big guy who's, like, the bouncer or bodyguard or something?
In Gotham?
He was like Fish Mooney's, like, you know, right-hand man.
Yeah.
He's really, really big.
Yeah.
I heard he's going to become Grundy.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Because he's going to be zombified and become Solomon Grundy.
Solomon Grundy.
Hmm. I mean, he's got the size, right?
He does.
You know. And isn't he dead now?
Yeah. Well, you know, Grundy's dead, right? So.
Well, that's what I mean. I read online that he's going to become Grundy.
Yeah, I actually like
but
that idea.
I'm not sure if that was real news or if that was like just speculation.
Yeah. Well, they brought in, just to let you know before we go, so they brought in a new Crane to play Scarecrow, and they've got the costume for that down perfect.
A new Crane?
Yeah, you know. So, you know, the original biochemist, Dr. Crane, I think he bites the bullet in Gotham. So his son takes up the mantle of the Scarecrow, and the costume looks good so far.
All right. I haven't been keeping track.
Yeah.
Did they still keep Poison Ivy?
Oh, yeah.
And is she got bigger, right?
She's an adult.
Yeah, she like super aged.
Right.
Fast.
Right. So she's an adult with all her, you know-how of plants and things. How a 10-year-old knows all that, I don't know, but okay. Or a 12-year-old, however old the original character was. Well, okay, they're genius kids. Okay, I'll buy that.
You just happen to have lived on the streets with Selena Kyle.
Yeah, yeah.
But you really were very, very smart.
And you're like a super-duper, you know, botanist, biochemist type, right? It could happen.
That's right. That happen. Is correct. It could happen.
You know, it's just not a high probability, but it could happen. Anyway, okay. So I'll bring this podcast to an end. We had a lot of fun. We don't do these very often, Jay, but when we do, we sure have a lot of fun. I think we got a lot more to talk about. Supergirl, Flash, Green Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow all restart next month or so, I think. I think like second yes, week of October.
Those I'm all looking forward to.
Yep.
Those are... I want to see Black Lightning.
I'm sorry, which one? Oh, Black Lightning. That's in a different universe, yeah. Right? Like, different from Arrowverse and Supergirl.
I think so. But yeah. He's one of my favorite characters from the comics. And then, did you hear they're going to make a Teen Titans?
Yes, I did hear that.
And I went, okay, this could be pretty good.
Or it could be pretty bad, right? But we'll see. The problem with Teen Titans... The problem with Teen Titans, it's even though all the other shows are also ensemble casts, Teen Titans is ensemble by definition, you know? Not just like a main character and an ensemble around him or her. Yeah. So it's really tough, I think, to write for however many characters they decide to introduce. Let's say it's just four, like the original Teen Titans. That's still a lot of characters to write for and to provide focus and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they'll bring in the writers from Hill Street Blues.
Maybe. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. I mean, Berlanti has a good record.
Yeah.
Even with Legends. I mean, I love Legends.
That's true.
So wacky.
Yeah, and that is another ensemble cast. Although, who's the main? I guess White Canary, whatever her name is.
Yeah, White Canary.
I guess she's the lead. I don't know. I guess it's hard to say. But, yeah, you're right. Legends of Tomorrow is really well done. I didn't like it at first, by the way, but I binge-watched it on Netflix, and then I just watched all the rest later, so really enjoyed it.
Because they take a lot of risks with that show.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, when you remember when they had that big robot in the first season?
Yeah.
I was like, what? And then you saw Adam, like, go big, like Giant Man, and I went, no way! Yes!
That was so surprising, cool. But cool. Not you a know, power that Adam killed. Had, yeah.
No, but that was awesome. I mean, it's a total, like, rip-off of Pym.
Right, but that's okay.
But I mean, Pym never fought like a giant robot.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And I like how they have the crossovers.
Yes.
In the Berlanti universe. That's
this
so
year's
awesome.
Crossover is Crisis, right?
I think so.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
And they're going to bring in Supergirl again.
Yeah. Well, I think with Crisis, the universes are going to fold. But we'll see.
Ooh. Maybe that's how they can make it one universe.
Right. But we'll have to wait and see.
Awesome.
But that's the way to do it, right?
Yeah, that would be the way to do it. You know?
Okay, well, we got so much to talk about. I hope we can do this more than once a month.
Sure.
In addition to all the TV shows coming up, Thor's coming up, like, November?
I want to watch that. I really want to watch that.
Is Justice League this December, or is it that next year?
It's this year. It's November.
Okay. And there's a couple of comic books I wanted to ping you on, too, mostly on the DC side. I've been reading... I don't know if it's Superman Action, but it's the one with the Mr. Oz
story. That's an action comic.
Okay. I've been reading that one.
You got to pick up Superman by Peter Tomasi.
Okay. I'll go take a look at it.
That is, every month, it's one of the best books to read. And then I also pick up Super Sons.
Oh.
Which is Damian and Damian Wayne and then John Kent.
Oh,
and then
nice.
You find out Damian's actually older than John Kent.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's And then the last issue I just read, they had Teen Titans showed up.
Oh.
In Super Sons. So that was, so you had Superboy, you know, Robin,
right.
Damian Wayne, and then you had the rest of Titans, including Starfire.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was really cool.
Alrighty.
That was a good issue.
Okay, so that brings to an end Comics News Podcast 91. Mostly on Inhumans, but Jay and I haven't talked in a while, so we also caught up on a bunch of other stuff. Hope you enjoyed that part too, and we will talk to you next time.